All right, this is Pure Decking show number 339 for Thursday, March something. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and wondering why lying works so well for everyone else. I'm Morps. Tonight, we have Mad Men. What are you drinking?
The reason it works so well for everyone else is you were taught to have morals, so you feel bad when you lie.
Why did my parents have to raise me with morals? Damn it. Oh, wait, can I claim somewhere on the Oppression Olympics since I have morals and have to be bound
yes.
by them?
Yes.
Possibly. Now, this, I don't know, because it might negate you being male, because if you have morals, you might not rape.
Wow.
It's your duty to rape.
No. It was his inherent, being male, it was his inherent status as a rapist. But since he was raised with morals.
I don't know. I don't like where this is going.
Well, he might not be a rapist anymore.
You'd think, Madman, with all these rapes going on, I would have fucking seen one happen by now. You know what I mean? The odds going out somewhere, I might see someone getting a little rapey, but I'm just not seeing it. But I'm being told it's everywhere. Maybe I'm just not male enough. Maybe I need to be doing my part. Maybe that's it.
Maybe you need a mirror.
Yeah.
Male pattern. Well, it's not baldness. What would it be? Whatever.
Creepiness.
Yeah, there you go. BSV, you're next on the list. What are you drinking? Why don't we rocket snail right away from this?
Just some water after recovering from mislabored chemicals in the fridge. I really need to stop putting viral samples in there.
This water tastes funny. That's formaldehyde. Fuck.
I don't know where you keep your Windex, but I keep mine right next to the cold water.
Kool-Aid, Windex. They both go in the unlabeled jugs in the refrigerator, right?
Yeah. That way it's 50-50. You gotta give yourself a fighting chance. Nature's not doing it anymore. Maybe that's the solution.
Don't you stir all your liquids in unlabeled mason jars?
Yeah, but I do it under the sink where they're easier to get. Anyways, are you? What are you drinking?
Just a heads up, if you ever come to collect my shit in my house after I've died or something, the Jameson bottle out in the garage, don't drink out of that. It's really...
That's the decoy.
That's two-stroke. You don't want to drink that. Yes, I mix my two-stroke fuel in a fucking Jameson's 1.5-liter bottle. Just seemed, I don't know, wrong at the time.
Oh, I am not drinking Woodford's tonight. I'm actually just drinking Newcastle. I didn't have a chance to run to the liquor store after I polished off the... I've been drinking a lot of bourbon lately.
Oh, no. He's calling for us to drink more of it. The stock is down a bit. Oh. Apparently, we have an investor.
Well...
Full disclosure, Morps has shares in the company.
Well, you know, when you buy enough, they just kind of show up at your house and like, you know, here. So, anyways, let's, I guess we can get right into it. We'll see how we do tonight. I'm kind of short on stories, but,
it is slow tech week.
It has. I mean, considering one of the stories in there is Tim Cook changing his Twitter name, for God's sake.
It's the Apple.
So, first article is from the independent.co.uk. Police in the Netherlands are investigating the brutal torture of a Bitcoin trader whose home was raided by criminals looking for cryptocurrency. Three robbers disguised as police entered the victim's home in Drenthe, I don't know how to say that, and attacked him with a drill in front of his four-year-old daughter, Dutch publication De Telegraaf reported. The hour-long ordeal also involved the victim being threatened with firearms before the perpetrators fled in an escape vehicle. The digital nature of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies means long and complex passwords or private keys are required to access assets and transfer them to another digital wallet. Police did not reveal the identity of the victim, but it is not believed any cryptocurrency was stolen during the raid. The spokesperson for the Northern Netherlands Police told The Independent that the investigation is ongoing. A fucking drill, man.
They did it wrong. If they didn't get a Bitcoin after drilling into the dude, they weren't doing it correctly.
This is not the first time criminals have targeted cryptocurrency investors and traders, with the earliest reporting instance taking place in 2015. In February that year, New York City firefighter Dwayne Richards was stabbed in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, by mugglers who demanded he transfer Bitcoin to their digital wallets. Bitcoin, which is currently worth about $3,800, is semi-anonymous and therefore difficult to trace to a single individual. Since its peak in late 2017, Bitcoin has lost close to three-quarters of its value, yet still remains an attractive prospect for criminals. One of the most notable examples of criminals targeting holders of Bitcoin, kidnappers in the Ukraine, made more than $1 million in digital currency in 2017 after ransoming cryptocurrency against Pavel Lerner. The UK's first Bitcoin heist took place in January last year when armed robbers broke into the home of cryptocurrency trader Danny Aston in Molesford, South Oxfordshire. Mr. Aston was tied up during the home invasion, and an unknown quantity of Bitcoin was seized by the attackers. I mean, went at the dude with a drill.
did he fall? Did they get his Bitcoin?
The police did not reveal the identity of the victim, but it is not believed any cryptocurrency was stolen. So, no. They tortured him for an hour.
They should have used the drill on the kid.
I was about to say the same thing. You go after the girl at that point.
Let's team up, madman. Fist bump the super criminals.
I see some people have missed the ethics training.
Yeah, let me just put you down for scheduled training course.
It definitely makes me want to get into cryptocurrency, doesn't it?
Yeah, someone come around, fucking break down your front door and torture you for a couple hours.
I mean, you must be making it well known that you trade Bitcoin or something for people to do it, because if you're not online advertising that you're doing something with Bitcoin, I mean, that means it's likely somebody you know. So you know somebody who's crazy enough to take a drill to your ass to try to get your money? That's not a good thing, because most people don't advertise when they do that.
I was initially thinking they were going after the heads of like exchanges, like somebody involved with I know Mt. Gox doesn't really exist anymore, but the equivalent.
Well, they did for a while. They would try to hack them and they dox people and try to get stuff that way. But now they're just going straight up for the traders. I mean. So, I don't know. I mean, we've already seen pictures of the people begging who have Bitcoin addresses on their signs, so who knows? You know, I'm a street panhandler. Here's my QR code. I mean, you know.
Oh, Britain's already assigned those. We covered it.
Oh, yeah, they did. You're right.
Yeah. So that's why that's such a thing, being facilitated by governments.
I mean, it's like, geez. So, but yeah, I mean, if you withstand an hour's worth of torture with a drill, yeah, either the attacker doesn't know what they're doing, or
they were pansies, they were holding back.
Yeah,
they forgot to plug it in.
That, or they really did know the guy and kind of felt bad about it.
Well, yeah, they were threatening with the drill. Yeah, I doubt any punctures went through.
They may have hit him with it, but yeah, completely incompetent. If they didn't just grab the girl and threaten her, yeah, you know,
Yes, but, Psychros is talking about how the Bitcoin may have actually just been inaccessible, like in a cold, like in safety deposit box, cold storage, or something offsite. Which, you know, I mean, if you're actively living in the Bitcoin world, doing, you know, trading and stuff like that, you probably have a hardware wallet, so you probably could do things like lock it in a safety box, or, you know, put it someplace else that's inaccessible, or, you know, just. I don't know, hide it and say, how do you get your Bitcoin? I don't know. I do it all online. You know, just play dumb. So.
Do it all online, sir? Not a problem. Let's pull up your account. You're just doing a quick transfer.
Well, the kid gets it.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Is, you know, did they go after the kid? Probably not if he lasted an hour. So.
Yeah, man, you'd have to think there's no parent out there in the world that would just go, nah, I'm going to keep my fucking currency, take the kid's arm off.
That's all right, I've got enough Bitcoin to buy her a new one.
We'll just make another one. Not really attached to that one anyway.
That one's not doing so well in school, go nuts. She's four. That's dark. Yeah, listen, we're getting dark again, man.
Next topic.
I was editing myself. Y'all go as dark as you want.
I'm a terrible person.
All right. Well, how about something nice and uplifting, like comedy? It's also Bitcoin related. Usually when the Bitcoin stories come out, I'm really struggling to find stories. So experts finally tracked down the digital wallets of the crypto CEO who died with sole access to millions. They say the money's gone.
Somebody else beat you to it.
Millions.
His password was 123. Banana.
Oh, I'll tell you a story when we get off.
Damn, I'm changing my passwords now.
Oh, I got a story for you when you get off here. It's bad, so I can't even talk about it. But millions of dollars were missing when the CEO of a crypto exchange died without sharing the passwords to his accounts. Investigators who have secured his laptop and other devices have revealed the money is gone. Where's my button?
Smoke weed every day.
That's not the right button, but we'll go with it. Gerald Cotton, the founder of... Oh, God. Quadriga CX was thought to have sole access to the funds and coins exchanged on it. After his death in December, his colleagues said that about $137 million in cryptocurrency belonging to about 115,000 customers was held offline in cold storage and inaccessible. The case has sparked numerous theories, including that Cotton faked his own death and ran off with the cash. A court-appointed auditor, Ernst & Young, has secured Cotton's laptop, home computer, USB keys, and home computer. So either he had two home computers or they listed it twice to inflate their bill. Using public blockchain records, it determined that digital wallets thought to contain millions were emptied in April, 8 months before Cotton's death, it said in a report last week. In April 2018, the remaining Bitcoin in the identified Bitcoin cold wallets was transferred out, bringing the balances down to nil, the report said. The investigators said they found other issues, too, such that Quadriga kept limited books and records and never reported its financials. Ernst & Young also reported that 14 user accounts were internally created under various aliases, traded on Quadriga's exchange, and withdrew cryptocurrency to addresses not tied to Quadriga. Burdened with $190 million in debt and unable to find or access the money, Quadriga filed for creditor protection in late January, i.e. bankruptcy. A Nova Scotia court threw the company a lifeline this week, granting it a 45-day extension that prevents creditors from filing lawsuits against it until mid-April. Or I guess that's the bank version of bankruptcy, isn't it? Creditor protection. Kraken, another crypto exchange, is offering $100,000 for information on where Quadriga's cash has gone. Previous version of the story incorrectly stated that investigators cracked his laptop and discovered the money was missing. Oh, yeah, that was the headline I originally saw the story under. In fact, they have possession of his laptop and identified money was missing through public record blockchain. So they did not crack his laptop and get his keys. That's too bad. I thought the story was more interesting than that, because I was going to, well, if they finally cracked Bitcoin wallets, then Bitcoin is no longer secure to use because somebody has managed to crack it to get these guys' money. But no, they never actually cracked his wallets. They just looked at the blockchain once they identified the wallets and went, oh, it's already gone. So
now see, these thieves did it correctly, and they even got rid of the witness.
Proper crime with Madman.
See, I'm not sure if it's uplifting, but it does let us know that there's still competency in the world. Being misapplied, it still exists.
So, yeah. Alex Lycros, or they opened passwords.xls. Damn it! Foiled again! Oh, shit. It's amazing how many people they look on the desktop. There's passwords.xls or .txt or .doc. My favorite was one time I saw passwords.ppt. It's just like, really? It's a PowerPoint presentation? And yes, it was.
Wow.
Doesn't surprise me. I know an HR manager that suggested to everyone she trained they keep a password Excel sheet.
Well, if you keep it offline in some kind of protected storage vault, say a flash drive that's encrypted with a PIN, or maybe in your phone, that'd be a way to do it. Some kind of protected storage on your phone, that wouldn't be too hard to do. Oh, you're in a corporate environment where people get fired for pulling out their phones.
No, her suggestion was just on your computer, because you'll be changing your passwords often enough that you probably won't remember them.
You know, at that point, just
love
have
that
the
woman.
Just have the company invest in a password manager. I mean, seriously.
I have no problem remembering my passwords. I mean, I only have 8 of them at work.
Well, I mean, and that problem should be getting better as more and more companies do single sign-on. So. Passwords.xls, passwords.ppt. But, they went and raided his computers to find where the money was. And then once they identified the wallets, they went and checked the blockchain records and figured out that there was never any money in them. It's been missing since April. I mean, it's just like, before the dude died.
Huh. I'm going with the faked his death.
I like the corrupt partners idea. Using this guy as a patsy. I mean, think about it. They didn't say how this dude died. I don't remember how he died. But if you have a financial partner who's just been diagnosed with terminal cancer, pipe as much shit through their identity as you can. I mean, assuming you don't have morals. Pipe as much shit through their identity as you can, right? Because, I mean, they're going to be dead, and it's not like they're going to prosecute them. So, of course, you got to really do your best to make it look like it was them. But, hey, if they're dying and don't care, have them help you.
Yeah. I'm down for it, Mops.
That would be a fun scam.
Yeah.
Dark as hell. Go to hospitals and find people who have been diagnosed with like 3 weeks to live. And like, yep, you're going to die. Can we use your identity to commit all kinds of fraud since you're going to die? we'll give you we'll give you $1,000 now or 10, whatever, pick a number. And we're going to
I want 50 grand for my family or my significant other.
Yeah, and then, go off and make a couple million laundering money through their accounts and shit like that.
Yep.
Oh.
The tax man going to come after you when you're dead?
Yeah.
That would be my second favorite way of making money off of people dying.
What's the first way? Composting them and selling the product?
Oh, no. If you're going to go with that, you'd just be killing people and selling their organs. Do a burking. Good old-fashioned burking. But, there was a wonderful typo, and I'm not going to tell you the name of the insurance company, but you could insure someone, not yourself. So the nice group of people figured this out and just went into hospice, and started insuring clinically dead people as the person who would die in the insurance thing, and then putting themselves as the beneficiary and that same person, the beneficiary, as the insured. But there was actually a separate section for a person who would die. I don't know how the hell this got past any editing. But a few million dollars were coined out of this insurance company before they stopped.
I bet you some lawyer got disbarred over that.
Yeah. And
big oversight.
I love when the insurance company said one of their defenses was this contract was inadequately scrutinized, and we don't think we should honor it. And the judge said, your lawyers were the only ones that scrutinized it. Yeah. You're honoring the contract.
Yeah, you're not getting out of it like that. We didn't know what we were signing. It was your contract.
Yeah, that's my favorite, because it was an insurance company being stupid. This is technically fraud, but it would be fun fraud.
Don't actually commit fraud, people. It's fun to talk about, but, you know, don't actually do it. I have to say that legally, right?
I don't know, man. When you can get a cabal of high-up fucking leaders in the White House talking about overthrowing a sitting president, and he's like, oh, no, we're just fucking around. We're just fucking around. We're not going to actually do it. No, it's not treason. We're just fucking around. No, seriously, we're just fucking around.
You're God right, Sacros, invest in Bayer. They invented heroin.
There you go.
Oh, my. All right, let's see. Next on the docket, this is from BuzzFeed News. And Bayer bought Monsanto? Did they at least change the name to something less depressing?
Oh, no, I didn't. That one missed me. I didn't see that one this week.
I didn't know Bayer bought Monsanto. Now I got to stop the show. We're Googling
this shit. How many trillions? Yeah, how many trillions? Trillions.
Bayer bought Monsanto June 29th last year.
A hostile takeover? Must have been.
No, it's an agreement. They bought it for $66
billion. Wow. A little lower than I thought.
Oh, and everyone started going after Bayer the moment it happened for all of the Monsanto legal issues.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, that didn't go very far.
Yeah,
Monsanto lost one of their cases with Roundup, and they're on the hook for $100 million or something. It was a ridiculous price.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
You know they settled on that one.
No, they actually lost that case. I'm pretty sure of it.
Figured they would have shown up and said, you know what, here's 20,000, go away. You know, just enough to make whoever's upset go away.
Yeah,
it's usually what they do.
But now Monsanto says that Roundup is not safe for human consumption.
Hold up.
I don't think
it was never safe to be drank. I'm fairly certain it's always had toxic, don't fucking drink on the bottle.
It's not for internal use.
Maybe in California, but the rest of us had to learn the hard way, madman.
I mean, maybe it's Jameson. Roundup. None caused human warp skin now. Roundup. Really, nope. It always said, don't fucking drink it.
Warning, drinking this will give you dwarfism. I mean, I don't know. Oh, shit.
Did that give me more oppression points if I'm a dwarf?
I don't
fucking know. Tugging that.
He's a dwarf.
So what has YouTube done this time?
Right. Back to the article. YouTube will start showing information panels, boxes of text that provide debunks from YouTube's verified fact-checking partners when people search for topics that are, quote, prone to misinformation, unquote, according to a YouTube spokesperson. These panels will show up on pages of search results rather than on individual videos. To be clear, videos containing misinformation can still appear in the search result, but YouTube will generate these disclaimers when a query involving sensitive topics with the intent to inform viewers as the company deals with the spread of misinformation on the platform. The feature is currently available to a limited number of users in India, one of YouTube's largest markets with nearly 250 million users. For search queries in English and Hindi, the company said it will eventually expand its to users across the world, but declined to say when. Here's what an information panel looks like, says this one hoax alert. So the search is for, it's a screenshot of the mobile app. And,
in Hindi. It's a screenshot in Hindi.
No, it's in English. I'm laughing at Psychros in the chat room, you know, saying, well, what happens if you search for Jews did 9/11? But anyways, so this one says virus and paracetamol, which I guess is a hoax. And the very first thing, huh?
You just gave us the greatest sound clip of all time.
That me saying the Jew thing.
Yeah. Oh man,
I'll take things that HR is going to hear about for 1,000. Let's see. So the very first thing when you search for virus and paracetamol in this screenshot is hoax alert. Paracetamol tablets do not contain the Machuco virus. You know, it says fact checked by the Quint. And then they go into the search results. And yeah. So and they're all about that. But yeah, and so then there's a later screenshot in Hindi basically showing the same thing, except I can't read Hindi, so I don't know what the example is.
So who are these verified fact checkers is my first...
YouTube partners. Top men.
Yep. Very top men.
Top men.
You might even say tippy-toppy men.
Oh, I bet the Southern Poverty Law Center is involved in this one.
Oh, you know they are.
Of course they are.
I mean, but it does say at least they're going to say where the fact check came from, because in the screenshot it says fact checked by the Quint. I don't know what that is, but I'm guessing.
Isn't it part of the female anatomy?
Google.
I'm afraid to put that one into Google. Truth be told, I mean that's right up there with you know, googling things like, you know, what the Jews did. So, anyways. As part of our ongoing effort to build a new, better news experience on YouTube, we are expanding our information panels to bring fact checks from eligible publishers to YouTube, the spokesperson told BuzzFeed News. Asked for example of the kind of search that would show an information panel, the YouTube spokesperson cited the recent conflict between India and Pakistan that led to a flood of information on social media platforms. So I guess that's what the screenshot in Hindi is about. The spokesperson also provided BuzzFeed News with a screenshot of an information panel in Hindi containing a debunk for Hindi search query for CCTV footage of the Pulwama terror attack that yields videos trying to pass off a bomb explosion in Syria as that is of an attack on Indian paramilitary forces.
The Quint is an Indian news source website.
That explains why I didn't know what it was. YouTube's efforts to fight misinformation in the United to fight information. Whoops. To fight misinformation in the United States so far include linking to Wikipedia excerpts on conspiracy theory videos to better inform viewers. In India, the company will use information from about half a dozen verified fact-checking services in India to show these panels. Many of these services are also working with Facebook to check misinformation on its platform in India ahead of a major national elections in this country. Come on, don't be that obvious. Yep, we've got our verified fact finders right before the election's coming out to make sure you see what we say you should see. I mean, does nobody else look at this and say this just smacks of the ability to abuse?
Oh.
Without a doubt, man. But if you speak out against it, you'll be put in the right place.
When they, if you start to speak up, there'll just be a fact check saying that you no longer exist. Don't believe anything coming from this person.
Yeah, so you know that bank you like to bank with? Yeah, they just don't want you banking with them anymore because you've got some views held that they would like you not to hold.
So we're going to make sure you get the Alex Jones treatment on the platform here. And
yeah. They just call you. You got Jones, man.
You got Jones.
You got Jones.
We've been banned from every major social media platform, every major website, all the review websites. We're up at Realtor.com. Come check us out. Well, there was a fantastic spoof video somebody did when they first banned Jones, listing all these weird ass websites. It's like, our MySpace page is still up. I mean, so.
No, don't tell me they took him off MySpace.
Now I gotta look.
I don't even know. He probably does, though. MySpace still exists.
Yep.
People using it?
I don't know, but there is an Alex Jones page.
Awesome.
I don't know how many people still use the AOL discs.
But that is a fantastic coaster. What are you talking about? So I guess he wasn't banned from MySpace. So,
well, that's good.
Got Jonesed. Oh, we're moving.
Oh man, we can start this. We can start this. You got Jonesed.
You got Jonesed. I like it.
And then we can start a little area for everyone that got Jonesed, and we call it Jonestown.
I'm down for this. What's that? Is that domain available? Yeah, it looks like some city has it. Anyways, although you got Jones would be a fun. I gotta look.
You can have a little Wikipedia entry on the side. Who got Jonesed?
Well, we just need to have it like in
the domain's available. YouGotJonesed.com is available. So when us put up a Twitter clone there and just never moderate it, but I'd come back and it would probably be full of, like, you know, anti-Semitism or some other bullshit that you just don't want to touch.
You have to touch it. Let it stay there. People want a graffiti on a wall, let them graffiti on a wall.
That's true. It's like, who owns this? Nobody.
But we just need to do something like the Grand Theft Auto thing of when you die wasted, instead just have Joned.
Or no, just ban people randomly for no reason and just make, you know, just come up with the graphic that just says Jones, like it's a big red stamp.
And no, random, dude, I just had the
random post,
the greatest idea for a fucking chat site or like a message board, no more than 30 people at a time. And when you get in the queue, you roll a dice, and that of 1 to 30, and that boots kicks out someone in there, and then you get to take their place. You're just like randomly booting people every couple of minutes to get in. That would be cool.
So people go on a cycle, and everybody in the queue can watch the chat. They just can't participate.
Yeah,
that's a fun concept.
Yeah,
because you'd have a lot of people fighting to get into it. And then people would get bored with it, and you would have made your money and sold it off to Google, and that would have been the end of it. Or yeah. AOL. AOL seems like the kind of company that would buy that kind of a thing. I forget who they're part of now.
Wouldn't be that hard to
see. We need to stop discussing ideas on the live shows.
Yeah, we'll cut Cycros in for 5%.
You kidding? Who's going to be a beta tester?
Yeah, a non-admin, 30 people. You can watch, you participate.
It wouldn't even be that hard to put something like that together now that I think about
well,
it.
Well, have you ever seen that image? It's like a paint. You know, the paint program that comes with...
Is it draw.io? No, that's not it.
Yeah, is that it? Like the one where you can put one pixel down?
I think it's called Sketch.
Yeah, I forget what it's called, but that's pretty cool. They do that sort of thing over there where they compete for different pitches and shit like that. I forget what it's called, though.
I think... Give me a second, I'll find it.
All right. I was just reading here, Madman. Pretty Boy Floyd, the bank robber from back in the day, would routinely destroy mortgage contracts as well as rob the banks, freeing people from debt.
A lot of people did that.
It's scribble.io. SKRIBBL.io.
Yeah, that place is cool.
Cat roulette still a thing?
Don't know. I'm banned for life.
Dick pics?
No. Much worse.
Other people's much dick pics.
Much worse. Oh, it was rebroadcasting their screen back on them and then using overlays to humiliate people. It was quite funny.
What was the other one?
I don't know the other ones. There was that one. Omegle. Like that.
Oh, there was one that was like... They were clowning on... I can't remember what it's called. Anyways, doesn't matter. So, Torn Freak story. We may have to play with this Scribble.io after the show just for fun. Rights holders can't sue without a copyright certificate, the Supreme Court rules. It's like, gee, you have to actually prove you own the copyright to sue somebody for violating it? What a concept.
Fucking ridiculous.
I always thought you had to have standing to bring a suit.
Well, I mean, the Supreme Court would agree with you. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that creators can't sue someone for copyright infringement before they've obtained a copyright registration certificate. In a unanimous decision, Justice Ginsburg, she's still alive, clarified that applying for a copyright registration is not sufficient. Major copyright holders are not happy with the decision, but for some others it offers hope. I still kind of wonder if at this point they're doing the whole Weekend of Bernie things with Ruth Bader Ginsburg just because they don't want to give Trump another justice nomination.
Check when the article was published. Does it say when the... crap. I should know this. It's a legal term.
When the ruling was published?
Actually, it's... not the ruling. They're concurrent and... opposing crap.
So it was argued in January the 8th and decided on March the 4th in 2019, according to the PDF.
Okay, then it would have been put out on March the 4th.
Although the top of the thing says October term 2018, so maybe that's when the suit was brought? I don't know.
Yeah, but when it was brought doesn't matter. It's when it was ruled upon, because that's when she would have had to vote.
In pretty much every part of the world, creators can claim copyright on their work without having to register anything. This is also true in the United States. However, when rights holders want to sue someone for copyright infringement, they have to back up this claim. Over the years, U.S. courts have issued mixed judgments on what kind of proof is required. Some held that it's enough when a creator applied for a registration certificate at the Copyright Office, while others required registration to be complete. This week, the U.S. Supreme Court put an end to the split decisions. In the case between the Fourth Estate Public Benefit Corporation and WallStreet.com, the court unanimously decided that copyright holders must wait for a registration certificate before filing a lawsuit. The case in question dealt with news articles that were published without permission, but the outcome of the case will affect future copyright cases. This ranges from potential pre-release movie and leaks to thousands of copyright trolling cases that are filed every year. The latter is particularly relevant, as the majority of the copyright lawsuits are filed against alleged BitTorrent downloaders. The rights holders that file these suits don't always have a copyright registration certificate. Following the Supreme Court decision, several defense attorneys indicated that this decision may help their clients. It is very relevant for our BitTorrent copyright defense practice, Jeffrey Antonelli noted on Twitter. Rights holders were less pleased with the Supreme Court's decision, however. The RIAA said it is disappointed with the... Well, anything that disappoints the RIAA is probably a good thing. Said it is disappointed with the ruling, which will require more time before copyright holders can take action against alleged copyright infringement. This ruling allows administrative backlog to prejudice the timely enforcement of constitutionally based rights and prevents necessary and immediate action against infringement that happens at internet speed, the RAAA commented. Given this
internet
ruling...
Internet speed? If it's my internet speed, that's fucking slow.
Given this ruling, the Copyright Office must also work at internet speed to ensure adequate enforcement protects equal rights. Yeah, I'm sure... the Copyright Office probably could... I mean, like any other government office, right, could probably stand to be a little more efficient. But I would also think if you're a major publisher of music or movies or anything like that, that you would probably, you know, take the time to get your copyright registration handled before you started publishing the damn thing.
Captain Marvel has already been copyrighted. Shazam has been copyrighted. Any movie before it hits theaters, there's a copyright on the bitch. I think it may be copyrighted before film starts.
Wouldn't it be copywritten at the IP level?
Well, you'd have a copyright on the script, you'd have a copyright on the score, you'd have copyright on the dialogue, the actual movie recording, the edited product, the special effects product. I mean, you would have a score of copyrights on say, a movie. You know, and I would think you would have all that stuff straightened out before you, you know, actually distributed the thing anywhere. So... At the moment, it takes months before a copyright registration certificate is issued. This can be problematic in a world where new content is produced at an increasingly rapid rate. This problem is also highlighted by the Copyright Alliance. On average, it takes the Copyright Office 6 months to process a claim. That average goes up to 9 months if the Copyright Office examiner needs to correspond with the copyright owner. In the world of viral online infringement, I love how they immediately go to online infringement. A lot of damage can be done in to a copyrighted work while its owner is powerless to stop it. That's the button I meant to hit earlier.
A meme isn't damaging your work.
Copyright
Depending on the meme, it might be helping your work.
Copyright Alliance's Terry Hart writes, "The Supreme Court is well aware of registration delays. However, in the order, it notes that this doesn't change how the Congress intended the law, which requires a proper copyright registration certificate. Delays, in large part, are the result of Copyright Office staffing and budgetary shortages that Congress can alleviate but courts cannot cure. Unfortunate as the current administrative lag may be, that factor does not allow this court to revise 411A's congressionally composed text." Justice Ginsburg wrote, in other words, Justice Ginsburg rightly said, it's not our place to change the law. This is just what it is, and it's not unconstitutional. I.e., you want the law changed, talk to Congress and talk to the Senate. Don't talk to the court. Unless it's unconstitutional, which they've obviously said that it is. So, while the ruling is seen as a drawback for major rights holders, pre-registration of copyright still remains available to certain classes. This was granted under the Artist Rights and Theft Prevention Act of 2005 and applies to movies and music that have yet to be published. Well, so there you can go. You can get your certificate before you publish the damn thing, just like we were thinking. For various types of user-generated content, the ruling may pose a challenge, though. People who want to sue somebody for copyright via their viral video without permission will first need to go through the full registration process. You know, and I was thinking about getting into online video. I still may do it. I don't know that I disagree with the idea that you should make somebody register the full copyright for a YouTube video or something that goes viral, because most of this stuff is so trivial and so worthless that the rare one that does show up and become worth something, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking about this too broadly. I just, you know, if you're talking random YouTube videos and shit like that, I don't know that copyright is really a... You know, unless you really want a big lawsuit for somebody, you'd think you'd go through the trouble of the registration. I don't know. I don't know on this one. I'm kind of thinking because that stuff is so trivial and usually so not...
You got to think, would Techno Viking have gone viral if I had to spend 25 cents a download on it?
No, because if Techno Viking, he wasn't the filmer, but if the guy who was in the subject of Techno Viking actually didn't want to be in a viral video, he specifically tried to get the thing removed. So I don't know. Because I get it that, you know, hey, if somebody steals your YouTube video and republishes it under their name, you know, if you're making your money off the YouTube ads, then, hey, that's, you know, that is theft. And you ought to be. So that's why I'm waffling on this, because it's like most of these videos are so worthless and so inane that who cares, right? But you do have major YouTube content producers who that's how they make their living or run their companies. And if it's going to take 6 months to get something registered so they can then sue people reposting their videos, I can see that being an issue. So I don't know where I land on that one. Like, I like the idea that you have to prove standing before you sue somebody. But I do get where they're coming from if you're a content producer that, you know, hey, if you got to wait 6 months before you can sue them, you know, with things like internet videos and YouTube videos, that may very well be beyond the useful life of the product.
And the only complaints I've heard from YouTube videos, like people like PewDiePie or Crowder or whoever, it isn't somebody else stealing their shit. It's somebody claiming they already own the copyright and then YouTube's not giving them their pay for the video.
And since the way YouTube saw, most of the time, the major money they get is within the first couple days, so...
Yeah.
And those people can't prove copyright already, so...
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm kind of waffling on that, but I'm not...
I see where you're coming from, where it could be a problem. Right now, that's not the problem.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's more that...
When it becomes the problem, I can see us trying to solve it. But wait till the house is on fire before you call the fire department.
So, I like what Psychro said in the chat. Don't worry, it's all already demonetized anyways.
Because they mentioned
things.
So, all right, this next one. At first, I wasn't going to cover this, but I just kept seeing the story pop up and, like, multiple publishers and everyone losing their mind over it. And the first couple of articles I clicked on didn't really explain why it was a big deal. But it was like, who cares? It's where Trump fumbled Tim Cook's name and called him Tim Apple. And... this is actually, you know, now that I've found the story that explained why everybody was losing their mind about it, it's actually pretty funny. Because one of the other articles I read about it said, yeah, we know it's cheap to go after somebody who fumbled the name, but we're going to do it anyways. Because, you know, they just hate Trump. You know, like Trump or not, I mean, everybody fumbles a name or misspeaks every now and again, so it's like, come on. Although, to be fair, some of Trump's speeches are pretty all over the map anyways, but that's not the point.
They're 45 minutes of fucking stand-up. The dude is the greatest comedian alive at the moment. He crushes it.
But
I'm going to have to say kudos on Tim Apple for this one.
Yeah, I now that I understand why people were getting excited about it, because I think that's a good call on his part. Apple CEO Tim Cook has slyly changed his name to Tim Apple on Twitter, an apparent reference to the President of the United States mistakenly messing up his name at a meeting. Technically, it's Tim and then a Unicode character. But only on Mac and iOS users, you can see the Apple logo symbol. Last night, a typical American Workforce Policy Advisory Board meeting, President Trump flubbed Cook's name and unmistakably called him Tim Apple. Which, you know, you can think that's an easy mistake to make, right? Because you're thinking Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, and you just flub out Tim Apple. I mean, okay. Shortly after the Verge, and it's like the dude, I mean, come on, right? Who cares? He just flubbed a name. The Verge first reported the mistake. It took off on social media, ultimately becoming a trending Twitter moment. Now, Cook has changed his display name on Twitter to in an apparent attempt to laugh alongside everyone on the internet. Which, yeah, like I said, this is a good play on his part. It's like, hey, let's just own it, right? Especially when it's something as innocuous as this, because it's not like he was insulting him or anything. The Apple character isn't... Oh, I read it wrong. Isn't a Unicode symbol. It's only visible in Apple operating systems, unfortunately. So if you're on Android or Windows device, you'll only see a blacked out square or another failed to render symbol. All of these non-Apple symbols are virtually unpronounceable and mean nothing to the average person. The one below, and this, it might as well be Tim Xbox. Oh, because they've got a... Yeah, from an Android device, it's just an X because it doesn't know what the character is. And what's this one? Somebody's got one where it looks like... I don't know what that is. Some kind of... Huh. Anyway, so yeah, it shows up as a bunch of different random characters based on whatever device you're on. But
the Tim Apple logo, not Tim Apple.
Yeah.
You should have gone Tim Apple, dude. Go the full Monty. Go the full Monty.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, if you really want to embrace it, he needs to get them to genetically engineer a new strain of Apple and name it Tim.
There you go. I think it's great that the president has time to digitally baptize people now in between signing bills. Like, that's hilarious.
I mean, if
you get your handle, dude? Fucking president.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I'm good on Tim Cook for just owning it, right? Be like, yeah, fuck, yeah. I'm doing it. Especially when it, I mean, again, it's not like he called him Tim Dumbass or something. He called him his company's name.
He just called him Mr. Apple.
Yeah.
You know? I get on him.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, at least he's being a good sport about it, right?
Help. So. That was our feel-good story of the week.
Well, I figured we needed one after how dark things got on some of the other shows lately. So it's like, well, let's get something to laugh at. Oh, and this one's from TechSpot. Google wants you to upgrade Chrome right now.
Google... I already knew that.
Huh?
Chrome always wants to be updated.
Yeah, it does. Google is urging Chrome users to update their browsers immediately after a zero-day exploit that could give hackers direct access to the user's OS has been found. The most recent version is 72.0.3626.121. And it is the version you want to be running to make sure you're safe from this exploit. Well, let's just see. Let's see. More. Where's the about on this guy? About... This is, well, it looks like I'm running version 6502, Firefox Quantum. Whoops. Anyways, I must not be running the right version. Yeah, it's a bad joke. Google is urging users to update Chrome across all platforms after a critical vulnerability was discovered and patched. The vulnerability seeks to exploit a security flaw known as CVE-2019-5786. The security flaw is a memory management issue in Chrome's file reader, which gives hackers the opportunity to inject and execute malicious code. File Reader is an embedded program in most browsers that allows web apps to read the contents of a user's local file system. The vulnerability identified by Google allows malicious code to leave Chrome's security environment and run commands on the underlying OS. Well-known Chrome security researcher Justin Schuth concisely addressed the urgency of this update on Twitter. Let's see, last week we got to deal with a real zero-day claim and a fake O-day claim at the same time. Wonder which gets more attention. Also, seriously, update your Chrome installs, like, right now. So, yeah, Google is calling this a zero-day version of Chrome. You should be running released at the beginning of March. Check your version number. Yeah, just so, let's see. Let me actually launch Chrome here so I can tell you how to do it. You hit your three dots, go to Help, go to About Google Chrome, and it'll tell you. So this one's 72.0.3626.121, which matches what the article says, and it's also up to date. So you're right, Chrome does a pretty good job of keeping itself up to date, but if you don't launch it very often because it's not your main browser, or if you never shut your computer down and you never close Chrome, it may not have the opportunity to update. I've actually got that problem with some people at work who never reboot their machine. They just, you know, put it to sleep for the day, and you know, they have tabs they haven't you know, closed and reopened because they lost the password for whatever account it is years ago, and they're afraid of losing. So, you know, we were having some fun telling people, no. We actually used a management tool to administratively close Chrome across the environment to force the update. Oh, we got phone calls. Anyways.
So. I haven't closed my browser in 5 years.
Dude, you say that, but I know people who haven't rebooted their computer in 5 years.
I'm confused. Yeah.
It's a laptop and they put it to sleep instead of shutting it down.
It would have no fucking updates whatsoever.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, those are fun to fix because they usually get the sick.
Yeah. They need to get a visit from the learning stick.
They usually get a visit from a guy with a USB disk to reformat their machine.
Yeah.
So, anyways, most people aren't that extreme, but there's one I'm thinking of in particular who it's maybe not 5 years, but a long fucking time. It's like it. I mean, it probably is years. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
On the bright side, they're not writing down their passwords, at least.
That's because they don't remember what they are.
I'm trying to be positive here.
And then this same guy's rocking an iPhone original, so...
I'm not going to knock him for that. If it's not broken, don't fix it.
Well, it won't run the multi-factor app that we were trying to push. So it was like, he was saying, well, can I get an exemption? My phone won't run it. It's like, what do you mean your phone won't run it? This thing works on everything. And he holds up an original iPhone. It's like, fuck.
Damn hipster.
I mean, I was fully expecting him to like hold up a BlackBerry or something. Cause it's like, oh, nope. It's supported. I've got a BlackBerry app. It's a pain in the ass to get it on the phone, but I got one. No, he holds up an original iPhone before they put the Play Store on the damn thing. So, like, fuck. It's like, ooh. Well, I guess you're doing SMS messages.
No, can you firewire it onto his iPhone?
You have to jailbreak it. I don't even know that there's even information on still how to do that floating around anywhere. Jeez. Oh, well... Speaking of getting nerdy, got two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is a modern article on a very old pastime, war driving. This guy has actually put together a guide to set up a modern war driving rig. He's got links on Amazon for where to get the Wi-Fi card and the GPS receiver, how to set up, you know, Kismet. Is he using Backtrack? Doesn't look like he's using Backtrack. Let's see. I read this earlier, but now I don't remember. Oh, no, he is using Kali. Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, war driving. I was calling it Backtrack. Yeah, he's using Kali. Anyways, but he's got the guide on there of running Kismet, capturing all the access points and mapping the GPS data, and then overlaying it on Google Earth. I mean, this stuff's ancient, but it's a modern write-up and links to hardware, so I just was impressed.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, this is old-school hacking shit, so it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, good on the guy for doing the write-up. It was on stealingthe.network, switch war driving with Kismet, and GPS, Google Earth. So, good times. Then the last thing I have for us tonight in Digital Dojo... And we are 2 minutes from hitting the hour. All right. We're not, at least not going to be short. The last thing I have for you tonight in Digital Dojo is a website called weekpass.com. And what this website does is they index word lists. Do I really need to go into explaining why, if you're working in security, you need word lists?
Nope.
It lets you know if your password's already out.
Yeah, if
there
your password is in
people.
One, if you pull down one of these top, you know, top 10,000 lists and your password's in there, you might want to change it. There's other uses for that, by the way, but that's a good one. If you're running, Hashcat or Kraken. It's not Kraken anymore. What's the THE Hydra? Any of these other, I mean, you've got one on here that's weak pass two it's a word list, and it's almost 30 gig. So if you're looking to put a password list to use, they've got some good ones on here for you. But, yeah, for any kind of brute force find word lists or unleash the power of them all at once. But looks like they might have some cloud integration stuff like that, too. They've got torrents. So if you want to download the 30 gig one, they got a torrent for you. Yeah, there's some good stuff here. But anyways, that's all I've really got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream while I was working on it. Peer Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit and the IRC. Tonight in the IRC, myself, Sardonyx, Cycros, Iron Angel, and Madman. Speaking of Madman, closing thoughts.
With the equipment getting more portable and easier to pack around, why didn't war driving get more popular instead of getting less?
Well, Google started doing it, and they just sell it as location data now. So, yeah, I mean, your phone... honestly, your phone is basically a built-in war driving device, right? So there are probably apps for doing it. You just run it on your phone, or you know, you could do the Chroot thing and run Kismet on the phone. I was just impressed because this is the old school method where you get the Wi-Fi card and you know you put it on the little suction cup on the side of the window and go driving around your neighborhood. So
can antennas. Yeah.
Yes. My favorite Pringles. Was the ones where somebody had just taken an old coat hanger and a block of wood and made an antenna. Hell, my war driving rig, I couldn't find the right connectors. And ordering them online was a bitch at the time. So I actually went to Radio Shack and got BNC connectors from a CB radio rig and used that to make my war driving antenna and cantenna. I had a cantenna made out of a bucket. And that thing was so damned directional, it was almost useless. I mean, it didn't have any play in it. You had to have it pointed right at the antenna on an access point to get access. I think I messed that one up now that I think on it. Anyways,
And that had pretty decent signal strength once you found something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hell, we had that Bluetooth thing I rigged up, too, where I was trying to see what else was going on people's phones around. And the only Bluetooth thing we found was my own Dell Axum. Anyways, oh, yeah.
Secure your network.
Oh, yeah, we did.
You've done so much more with that.
Yeah, we did kind of break into Best Buy's Wi-Fi on that little handheld, didn't we?
All we did was tell them to secure their network. Could have bought a TV for $5.
Or seen the credit card data going past on the terminals. I know.
I don't want to steal money from actual people. I just want to steal money from businesses.
Good times.
I paid for it. I just paid $5.
So does that work? You're in the store. You grab the flat screen, you throw a fiver at the register and say, I paid for it! And, you know, run out the door with the TV.
No, but if they scan it, it says $5. We both agreed upon that price. A contract has been made, sir. I expect you to honor it.
BSV, future new... I mean, closing thoughts.
Just kind of want to try to fit a update USB into the head of a sledgehammer just so I can hit a computer to update it.
You'd have to have some really good accuracy to hit the USB port with a sledgehammer. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying might need to practice.
It's more of I want to see somebody walk into a room with computers needing to update with carrying a sledgehammer, pull out to swing it, hit a switch, it pops out and just plugs it in slightly, gently. It's more for the thematics.
The format hammer. All right. Close us out, are you? What you got?
I don't have anything really, apart from stream.me just flew a little too close to the sun. You'll be missed, Space Cowboy. End of line.
That's the best eulogy I've ever heard for a website. Oh, fuck. I can't top that. We're just going to do this.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Time to go nose down and call it a night.